members that have brought in Honorable Mashodi, Honorable Maimang, Honorable Boshoff, and the chair.
Okay.
I'm sure Matrakane will log in soon.
Okay.
She indicated that she will log in.
And apologies?
And apologies. We received an apology from Ms. Honorable Matevula, Honorable Dango, and Honorable Protase.
Oh, okay. I think we should start then with the meeting, but you won't be able to adopt the minutes or reports, if there are any reports. Let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members, Deputy Minister, in absence, she has tendered her apology. There's a bereavement in the family, so she was meant to join us and make opening remarks and then leave the meeting, but we agree that because we're starting very late, we should allow the minister, the deputy minister to attend to the family challenges. She has already indicated that the minister is in France. Understand that she's part of the delegation led by the president to France. I see that the DG and the officials from the department and also from the NDT. They will be dealing only with the department. I've seen the names of officials from the, I think, see the CEO of SIF also joined, if I'm not mistaken, also the chairperson of CIDA. Yeah, maybe let's start with the introductions. My name is Manda Khai, chairperson of the Select Committee on Trade, Industry, Competition, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour. I am a member of the NCOP representing the province of the Eastern Cape. Can I ask the honourable members to introduce themselves?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Kenny Muima, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mashodi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not going to open my screen because of my network. My name is Honorable Mashodi from the Free State. I'm the member of this committee. Thank you very much.
I don't see other members as I scroll down. I think I don't see her on the platform.
She logged in.
And then she might have
logged in earlier.
Yeah, she might have logged out because I don't see her. She was one of the people that indicated that she was not going to be part of the meeting yesterday, but I saw her in the plenary, and also Honorable Tim as well in the plenary. I know maybe they are still in the plenary. But I've sent on the committee WhatsApp group that you should leave the plenary and log in, because there were still three more speakers in the plenary that were still to debate, including the minister was going to close the debate. Minister Didis was going to close the debate. So I thought that when I checked, I saw that the DM had already logged in. So I opened the two devices connected in both the plenary session as well as the committee. So I looked at the speaker's list so that it was going to members will be debating in that in that debate, because the problem that they scheduled two debates. The first one was the COPTA, then the second one was the Department of Agriculture. Agrarian reform or land reform and the rural development. So I think the let's now have the department of let's finish with the parliament, the parliamentary staff first. Can you please introduce yourself?
Good afternoon. I'm not the coming secretary.
Good afternoon. I'm Maria Solomon, the Social Committee Secretary.
Good afternoon. My name is Rutu Shum, Coordinator Advisor for the Committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Belen Moshe, the Researcher for the Committee.
Good afternoon, my name is Enrico Bazir and I'm the committee assistant to the committee.
I think the department's DG.
Good afternoon, Chair and other members, colleagues. My name is Lindo Mpane, the DG Department of Small Business Development. As you indicated, Chair, we have number of colleagues. I will just request them to introduce themselves.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. My name is Mpeti Westerweg. I'm the CFO of the department. With your permission, sir, please allow me to speak of the video so I don't get interrupted during the proceedings.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, Chair, honorable members, DG and the colleagues. My name is Nomonde Mnukwa. I'm the Chief Director of Corporate Management in the department. I would also request to save the data by switching off my camera. Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair and colleagues. I'm Dominic Benson, the acting DDG responsible for enterprise development. Thank you.
Okay, I like your kettle. Okay. Can we introduce also the NDPs that are here?
Good morning, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Oh, my word. We are all day. Good afternoon, members, honorable members, and colleagues. My name is Mkodi Matamba, the CEO of SIFA. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
A muted Dogozo.
Sorry, I picked on the camera and left the important thing. Good afternoon, Chair and members. I'm Dogozo Majola. I'm an executive manager in CEDA. I'm standing in for our acting CEO who has another commitment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Mulchi Mgadi. I'm the head in the office of the Deputy Minister. Papa.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. It's Bandile Mafunga, the Chief Director in the OTG. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else who has not introduced himself or herself? Okay, looks like everybody has introduced Mr. Foster.
Can we then give to you the DG, and also I am sure the Deputy Minister in her opening remarks was also going to indicate the fact that you are now the DG, not the acting DG. So I'd like to, before you start, and congratulate you for being appointed as a DG. So you're no longer acting now. And then you've been acting for 2 or 3 years. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the kind words. Yes, I've been appointed since the 5th of May. So I'm very new in this role. So I request that I start projecting. I'll also not put the video on because it interferes with the quality of the connectivity.
I also had the same challenges. I had to drive to Parliament. I'm in Parliament now, but also I couldn't get to the connect to the Wi-Fi of Parliament. So I'm connecting on my cell phone as well.
Sure.
So I'm also having that challenge. Okay, if you can continue teaching.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with your permission, I will take mostly the first part of the presentation, and then when it comes to the budget, I'll request our CFO to talk to it, and then I'll come back just to finish off the presentation. And then we have the support of the entities. They're here to support us and also provide responses where necessary. I'll try and be quick. We have 72 slides, Chair. But I'll try and make sure that we cover it in good time.
If you can do it in 1 hour, DG, so that we allow members then to ask questions.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is the presentation outline. We will be talking about firstly the revised strategic plan, annual performance plan, and then talk to the issues that we are asked to cover by the portfolio committee. And then touch on the recommendation. I'll let me skip this one, but I think it's important to present to the study committee as requested. Our mandate, Chair, is guided by this act. I'm not going to go through all of them, just to highlight one or two. The first one, Chair, the Businesses Act, I think it's the first time we are putting this act here on our presentation. It was transferred by the President in October, end of October last year. It's the act that has been administered by the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. So the President took a decision that it must also come to us because it's really part of our mandate, because it mainly deals with licensing and carrying on of businesses, you know, shopping hours, you know, all those issues that we want to address, especially in the informal and micro space. So this is the act that we are already in the process of reviewing as a Department of Small Business Development to address the issues that have been raised by a small business, especially those that are in the townships and rural areas. Chair, I'm not going to go through each and every one, but just to indicate that we are part of the MTSF, especially Priority 2, which talks to economic transformation and job creation. Later on, I'll indicate the exact activities that you are responsible for as a department and where we are supporting other departments to implement the medium-term strategic framework, which is under review. These are just some of the strategies and policies that we are implementing as a department. This is the integrated strategy on cooperative. National Informal Business Assessment, which is mainly focusing on supporting informal businesses. Chair, this is still the same. We don't change our aim, vision, and mission almost every year. If it's still relevant, we keep it that way so that we stick to the same vision and see how far we go in achieving. So it's still the same that we are supposed to lead and coordinate an integrated approach to the promotion and development of entrepreneurship,
SMEs cooperatives to ensure an enabling legislative and policy environment to support their growth and sustainability. This is critical, Chair, to indicate that we expect ourselves to be the lead department, because we know that we cannot do everything on our own as a department, so we have to lead and coordinate, because there are quite a number of other spheres of government, even the private sector, that is involved in the space, and we are working closely with them to deliver on this huge mandate. Chair, normally we are expected to touch on this global economic outlook in our strategic plan, and I think the biggest issue here, we all know what COVID-19 did to the economy, so we are all in the process of rebuilding the economic recovery, the construction and recovery plan that was launched by the President in October last year, is the one that is guiding our interventions. We are also contributing in those monthly reports that we are expected to produce as a department. But these are the issues that were clear, and we are saying, especially on the first slide, that people who are mostly affected is women, youth, and persons with disabilities, and also the SBE informally employed. We know how the restrictions affected informal businesses in particular. So whatever we do, we also pay particular attention to those SMEs or that category of small businesses. We are all expected to make sure that we recover, but we recover differently. So we are not recovering to go back to the same way we were before the pandemic. We are recovering now to make sure that we come up with a more inclusive economy. This slide, Chair, it gives us hope because if you look at the last line there, South Africa, last year, I think it was around October, we expected, the economy was expected to grow by -0.2, but the projections that have been released this year in January, they are saying now there is a possibility that we'll grow by 2.8, which is a huge jump from the -0.2 that was projected last year. So we believe that all the interventions that we are introducing are critical to assist us as a country to have economy that is growing as soon as possible. I think I touched on this, the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, the key areas that are also impacting us is the industrialization. We are part of the team, which is also led by Department of Trade and Industry on localization. We were requested specifically as a Department of Small Business Development to come up with an SMME focus, a localization policy framework and implementation plan, because it has been realized that as a country we've been talking about localization, but nothing much has benefited small business. So we were specifically requested to focus on SMEs. How do we ensure that SMEs participate in this localization, they drive localization? So we were able to do that, and that document was approved by Cabinet in October, and it formed part of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Then in the 2021 FONA highlights, these are the issues that were addressed by the President that have a direct impact on us. Business support, that we need to increase business support, support localization, youth economic empowerment, as well as women-owned businesses. Then, Chair, just to highlight in terms of the performance-related issues that we'll be focusing on, both in the strategic plan as well as the annual performance plan, we are continuing with the implementation of our key intervention, which is the Township and Rural Entrepreneurship Program, which is dedicated towards the provision of financial as well as non-financial support to those entities that are based in townships and rural areas. Secondly, we'll also be focusing, Chair, on the National Small Enterprise Act, that went to Cabinet, and then it went out for a public consultation. It was gazetted, and it went out for public consultations in December last year, and we've consolidated those inputs, so we need to take it forward, finalize, make more consultations, because some of the issues that were raised by the public needed more consultations, so we are doing that as we speak, and we'll be taking it back again to DPME for socio-economic impact assessment and get the final legal opinion and take it back to Cabinet, and then it will come to Parliament. Then, as I indicated earlier, the Businesses Act, We are very much prioritizing this intervention, even though the act was only transferred last year. We've already started with the process of reviewing this business's act to make sure that we standardize procedures, the applications of licensing of businesses across the country, because that's one of the things that we discovered during the pandemic when we were coming up with the interventions, that it's not standard. The municipalities, they charge their own prices, others, they do it their own way. So we need to standardize it so that people benefit across the country from this act. So we are in that process, and here we'll have to have extensive consultations with municipalities, with business, especially the small business associations, as well as those small businesses, because of this will affect them directly. So we'll be doing all those consultations this year. Implement SME and cooperative funding policy. This is the target that we're giving through the medium-term strategic framework. We're finalizing this document. I think we'll be going out. In fact, it was approved last year, end of March. Now it's going out for further public consultations, because it is not just a document of the department. You are putting it as a policy of the country. We had a consultation with the private sector. We're going back to them and make sure that they also adopt the same approach in terms of funding for SMEs and cooperatives, because this is a very important one. We know that the issue of the access to finance for SMEs and cooperatives is an issue that we've not been able to address. So we're hopeful that with this policy, we'll be able to get some harmonization across various government departments, across various spheres, as well as the private sector. Localization policy framework, this is the key intervention that we are pushing very hard, and we do have some processes that we'll talk about later, but there are some challenges we are facing, but we are pushing in terms of ensuring that our SMEs are integrated in the value chains of retailers as well as some wholesalers. And then we are also implementing in partnership with the entities, the Small Enterprise Manufacturing Program. This is a very important intervention, because it assists us when we talk about localization and saying this product must be produced locally. We come up with an instrument that enables our SMEs to produce this product. So this scheme is assisting this enterprise to buy machinery, to buy equipment. We're also assisting, on the other hand, with the technical expertise, ensuring that our SMEs, they do have products that comply to the standards that are required. Continuing, Chair, the one of the interventions that we introduced last year is this SME and cooperative database, because up until today we still don't have a single version of truth. If you talk to states, they will give you estimates in terms of number of SMEs in the country. You go to Bureau of Market Research, from University of Stellenbosch, they give you their own. So we need to have one single version of truth. So we do have the system in place, but we are not just doing the database that where you just put a name and leave it there. It's a platform where you are able to also continue to apply from ourselves, but you are also able to access. For example, we are connected now to the centralized supply database of National Treasury, CIPC. We are also engaging with other government departments so that SMEs can just go to the database and do whatever they want to do there and leave, instead of them having to go to different databases or different websites and visit different offices. So it also assists us in cutting red tape for our SMEs and cooperatives. Number of competitive small businesses. This is also one of the MTSF target 10 that is focusing on supporting those SMEs. We call them competitive because it's those SMEs that are supposed to assist us to address the issue of employment creation, also assist us with GDP contribution by small businesses. So those, for example, that are assisting us with the localization, they will fall under this category of SMEs, because it's people who are doing things that add more value. Business Viability Chair will implement this scheme because it assists those SMEs who are adversely affected by COVID to change their business processes. If they have to add new machinery or different facilities, they will have to they do that through this facility. Then we, as a department leader, assist us in the establishment of incubators. This is also one of the MTSF targets, and we are clear here, Chair, that CEDA, they have to go to rural areas, go to those areas the township areas instead of maybe going to the easier areas where it's CBDs or these urban areas where it's easy to set up incubators. So they are doing that and they are implementing that. We have a couple of them across the country that will be launching soon. So it's a target that we have on the MTSF, and we're expected to report on the performance of this incubation center. So it's not just about establishing and thinking about the base that we also have to monitor the performance of these incubators and digital hubs. And then we're also working on assisting our SMEs, linking them through the e-commerce platform, because we know that e-commerce is now the way business is done. So we are assisting our SMEs to access these platforms and to be able to do business. And then last on this slide, Chair, is the issue of mainstreaming, ensuring that whatever measures, this is the MTSF target, it's not just for us as CSDD, but this for the whole of government. 40% of our interventions must go to women-owned enterprises, 30% to youth-owned, and then 7% to persons with disabilities. In terms of administration, Chair, we are still in the process of finalizing our structure. We have done a lot of work. What was left for us was to get the concurrence of National Treasury confirming the budget availability, and then Minister taking it to Minister of Public Service and Administration for a final approval. But unfortunately, that could not happen because the budget cuts came. So we are still in discussion with National Treasury in terms of how we can address this, because we need their support. We cannot take the budget, the structure that we need to MPSA without the support of National Treasury. Then lastly, and a very important one, is the finalization of the business case for the new single small business support entity. We have a draft business case. We've consulted with various critical departments, which is Public Service and Administration, National Treasury, as well as Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And then we also consulted with IGC, because IGC or CIFA is still a subsidiary of IGC, so we cannot do anything without the support of IGC. So we've consulted with them, and we are taking this. We are in the process now of getting local opinion so that we can take this process forward. This is just an indication on the alignment between what we are doing and what is on the medium-term strategic framework. I won't go through each and every detail, but the column which is second from my right, the MTSF 2019-2024 target priority. We're just indicating all the targets that are in the MTSF that we are responsible for as a department. These are the things that we're expected to implement over the MTSF period, which ends in 2024. This slide, Chair, it talks to what we are doing in support of other government departments that are supposed to be particular intervention. You see on the far right, we are talking about what exactly we are doing with Department of Agriculture, where we are supporting with two things, mainly is business development support as well as market access. That's what we are supporting them to do. And then the other issues, they talk to red tape reduction program, which we are driving as a department of small business development. Chair, in terms of the strategic, we were expected to talk to how we are addressing the human rights implications of COVID-19 as suggested by the UN and adapted to the South African context. So we are indicating what our role is, which is mainly to support people who have been adversely affected by COVID so that they continue operating and paying their salaries. We're indicating there that our response as a department, together with the entities, we develop a number of schemes that are aimed at assisting informal and micro business. This is the revised 2025 strategic plan. On the second column there, we have our outcome indicators. You see the five-year target is 1,000 products. I'm sure and members will remember that the president, when he spoke during the State of the Nation address, he did touch on the 1,000 products and services must be produced and registered by SMEs and cooperatives. And we are clear that they must be produced locally. That list has been published, so we are working with quite a number of government departments because government must lead in terms of ensuring that they do procure goods and services from SMEs and cooperatives. SME localization policy framework, we've done this one. We are in the process of implementing this localization policy framework. This one, Chair, we are all implementing it this year, the 20 product market, because these are facilities that will assist our SMEs to trade their products and services. So we are in the process of delivering on this infrastructure. So the target for the until 2024 is 20 product markets, 1,500 SMEs and cooperatives exposed to international markets. We know that we have been having challenges with this target, especially when it comes to the export market, because most of the SMEs, their focus is mostly on survival for now. So the issue of exploring international markets is not something that they are considering. They are busy with the process of ensuring that at least they are viable, they are sustainable, they are able to operate. 50,000 women-owned enterprises registered in the international platform. This is linked to the She Trade ZA, which is for women-owned enterprises, just to assist them to register and tap into the international market. We are working here with the International Trade Center, which is an entity that is responsible for the She Trade platform in general, but they are assisting us, for example, with the issues around the market intelligence, because SMEs, before they can export, they need to know who to export, what are the requirements of the other country they need to export. So the International Trade Center is a very critical partner we're working with to assist us with this information. But on the other hand, as a department and entities, we're supporting these women-owned enterprises in particular to tap into the support measures that are required so that they can be able to run successful businesses in the international space. Chair, this is just a continuation of what I spoke about. We still have the target, Chair, where we are looking at specifically on the creative industries. We know that most of our SMEs are in this space. We also working together here with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. The creative industries master plan, for example, is being driven by our department, and we working closely with these two departments, which is Sports, Arts and Culture, as well as Department of Digital Communication. DCGT, we are working closely with them because they all have a big impact in terms of the success of this sector. We're also having targets that talk to the increase in national turnover of SMEs and cooperatives participating in cooperative sectors. The Small Enterprise Master Plan, which is the first of its kind that we are coming up with, because what we've realized is that everyone is doing something around SME support. There is no master plan that has been developed to guide everyone. So we do have here support of the private sector. We've engaged with quite a number of them a number of times, but now we are in the process of finalizing the document so that we can again be gazetted, because we still say here it's not just a master plan for government, it's a master plan for everyone in the country to assist us in ensuring that we coordinate support to small business and cooperatives. Then the annual impact, I indicated on this one, Chair, that we need to check the performance annually of the incubation centers as well as digital hubs. The SME support plan aligned to the district development. This, Chair, later in the submission, I will talk to this, that we are reviewing this. We had come up with the SME support plan, which tells us exactly how many SMEs we want to target in a particular province, in a particular district, in terms of our interventions, because we've realized that over the years, if we don't have specific targets for particular areas, we still see support going to Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN, but KZN is mostly in Echeveni in particular. So we have a national support plan, but now we have to review it because of all the budget cuts that we've seen, just to make sure that we cut and make sure that we are able to have targets that are implementable. Annual reports on the performance of the Small Enterprise Index. We are also responding to the issues that have been raised by this committee, the select committee, where we've been asked, but can you measure the support that you've been providing at small businesses over the years? So this target talks to exactly that we need to reflect annually on the impact of the interventions by government in general, but also by the private sector. So we go back to those enterprises that have been supported and check whether there's improvement in terms of the turnover, the employment, and all those other things. So here we are going backwards. We look back and check whether what we need to do to improve performance going forward by reflecting on the past performance. Chair, this is the SME and cooperative funding policy. Chair, in the MTSF, it says at least 50% of national and provincial DFI financing to SMEs. That's why we are consulting and consulting again with quite a number of institutions, because what is presented in the MTSF is that at least all the DFI must set aside 50% of their funding to finance small businesses. 200,000 youth business staff supported. This is what is on the MTSF, but we are also revising these figures, Janos, because there are some challenges that we've realized, and it's part of the revision of the whole MTSF. 100,000 cooperative small business and cooperatives supported. I spoke to this item earlier, and then township and rural enterprises supported, which I indicated that it's a scheme that we continue to implement this year. A small enterprise ombud service established. This is part of what we are doing in the revision of the Small Enterprise Act to make sure that we have a facility that will assist small businesses to resolve challenges, conflicts, contract issues with big corporates as well as with government in a more amicable way and in a more affordable way. Action plan on the ease of doing business. Here we implementing a program which we call Red Tape Reduction Program. We're working closely with municipalities, but coordinated at the district level, because it helps that whatever intervention, and it also assistance with the reach, and it's also aligned with the BBM model, that we address issues at the district level, because the district can still continue to monitor whether the local municipalities are implementing these red tape interventions at the district level. As these are standard targets, Chair, that we also want to maintain an unqualified audit opinion for both financial and non-financial performance, maintain the baseline targets of 95.6% that the expenditure must be less than 5%, we must spend more than 95% of our annual budget, also maintaining the baseline target of valid creditors paid in under 20 days. You'll notice, Chair, that for ourselves, I know that the standard across government is paid within 30 days, but for us, we are putting a higher standard, we're saying under 20 days, and we hope to continue decreasing this number so that we are able to pay our SMEs immediately. SMEs and cooperative database business processes designed and implemented. I touched on this one earlier, that we are developing a whole ecosystem. Here it's not just a database where we are just listing SMEs, but it's a platform for SMEs to access both financial and non-financial support. Chair, these are the programs that we have in the department, which is Program 1. Program 1, we have Ministry, Office of the DG, Corporate Management, as well as Financial Management, that is assisting in providing leadership and management support services to the department. These are the targets, Chair, and I think I've touched on some of these, which is unqualified support, 100% payment of creditors. We last year the target on valid creditors paid is under 30 days. Now we are saying within 25 days. We'll continue to be hopeful that maybe at some stage you can reach 15 days or even 10 days. But it's something, but also that we need to make sure that we gather against ensuring that we pay valid creditors, because otherwise if we don't just pay people that who are not valid or will be at risk of wasting taxpayers' money. So this is our target that we'll continue to improve on this one. 5% variance on annual budget. This is a standard target that we always have to at least remain with less than 5%. We cannot remain with more than 5%, because it means money that is supposed to be in the economy is not circulating in the economy. And then CHS, 10%. We always have to at least have less than 10% vacancy rate to make sure that we have the required resources to perform the responsibilities that is given to us. less than or greater than 50% of female SMS representation. I think we've been doing well on this one, Chair, over the years. For 2019-2020, for example, we're sitting at 55.9, so we've never been below 50%, and we aim to keep that target that we always have, more than 50% of female senior management representation. This is the target for people with disabilities. According to the MTSF, we must have at least 7% by 2023-24. So you can see that there is a gradual increase that we want to see over the years up until we get at 7%. In fact, we are going an extra mile, ensuring that we are able to attract people with disabilities to the department. Then the next one, Chair, is the engagement together with the entities. What we've adopted as a department is what we call a district. We have district champions in the department. We have provincial champions first, which mostly are members of the executive committee, and then we have district champions where we have individuals within the department who are coordinating whatever activity is supposed to happen in the particular district. Here we're working closely with the two entities, CIDA and CIFA, so that when we go out together, we communicate the message and people receive the support that they require. So we have a target of 24 for 21-22, 26 for 22-23 financial year, and then 28 for 23. This is important, Chair, because most of the people, they complain about unaccessibility of our services. So we go out and make sure that we interact with the district. And then the next one talks to the SME database. Here we are really expanding our the database because we want it to be accessible to quite a number of SMEs, and it becomes one of the tools that we use for some of the people or entities we are targeting is UIF, for example, to integrate our system with their system, because what we learned during COVID is that most of SMEs do not register their employees with a UIF. And that becomes a challenge when we have a crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic, because most of the support that they require is just for money to pay their employees, whereas if they had registered them with UIF, they wouldn't be asking for that support. Okay, this is the budget, and you see the 28 million for 22-23, so there is a gradual increase, but it's not a significant increase. For all programs within the department, you see for some around 100,000 the difference between last year with the financial management. You see that it's very little the increase between what we received this year and what we'll be receiving going forward. So the path is very tight, and we are expected to do everything possible to make sure that we are able to still do what we've been doing with the limited budget we have. These are the key risks that we've identified. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to indicate that we've identified the risk in assisting us to deliver on the targets that we touched on earlier. I know that one of the issues that has also been raised by the select committee is item 4, which is misalignment of the structure with the departmental strategy. You'll see that on our budget structure, we have development finance, we have sector and market development, we have enterprise development, but on the structure of the department, we still have the integrated cooperatives, because that's what we are aligning with on the budget structure. We negotiated and agreed with Treasury that this is the structure that we are going to implement going forward, but we still have to submit the structure to Department of Public Service and Administration for them to concur with whatever we are proposing there. So we are aiming to fill all the vacancies that we have in the department so that we are able to deliver. HRD strategy is critical in forming the kind of support that will be required from the human resource to enable us to deliver. Work skills plan, which is critical for sharpening the skills of our officials to be able to deliver on the interventions that we've introduced. Chair, this is program 2, which is sector and market development, business information and knowledge management. Mainly this is the unit that is responsible for access to market interventions they also assist us with providing relevant information, because whatever interventions we introduce must be informed by research, ease of doing business, which is red tape reduction, falls under this, as well as infrastructure support also falls under this, as well as international trade also falls under this program. These are the interventions, Chair. I'm not going to touch on all of them. I'll just highlight a few. The first one, I think, which is very critical, is part of the SME focused localization, where we're talking about listing our SMEs produce products to retailers as well as wholesalers. I must indicate, Chair, here some have embraced us, some are still having challenges in terms of adjusting their processes to accommodate SMEs. But we're also saying we're not just forcing these big guys to allow SMEs to be integrated into their value chains. We're saying we are prepared to support these SMEs to comply with their standards, the packaging, the pricing, and all these other things. We are doing exactly that. So the target for year 21-22 is 250. So it has to reach 1,000 by year 2024. 2,000 women-owned enterprises. Here, Chair, we are also careful in terms of how we crafted this target, that we are not just registering our women-owned enterprises, but we also need to monitor to make sure that they also participate in the international trade space. So we are assisting them to register, but also introducing the relevant support measures. 200 SMEs, which also now this one accommodates the others, which include men and who want to also trade in the international market. So we are targeting 200 for this year. And then one of the interventions that we have, Chair, is for us to always go back again and reflect on the contribution of SMEs to jobs by SMEs and cooperatives, because this has always been debated. People will come up with different figures, but we need to have real information in terms of how our SMEs contributing in terms of job creation. So we produce this report once in a year. SME Development Index Survey report approved. We started this year. We were assisted by the World Bank to do a survey. So we'll continue to do this every year to check, make sure that we check the health of our SMEs, especially the ones that have been supported by the department. And then incubation support, evaluation conducted and approved. This is the performance that we need to measure for our SMEs and cooperatives. Chair, and then this is the budget that we have in the for this program. It's not a lot of money that is allocated to this intervention, even though it's critical, but we'll continue to push for this. But we're also aware that there is not a lot of money that is available within government, so it's critical for us to go out and engage with the private sector and make sure that they get involved in supporting SMEs and cooperatives. And then these are the key risks that we've identified and that we are addressing as a department. They have an impact in terms of whether are we able to address or to deliver on the targets that we've put across. Low uptake, for example, by wholesalers and retailers of SME products. We are saying, on the other hand, we are introducing these product development support interventions to make sure that we are able to get products that meet the standards that are required by our retailers and wholesalers. And we are also going out and ensuring, especially the last one, Chair, which has been a sore point for all of us, low uptake by designated groups, thereby limiting the efforts to achieve the desired level of mainstreaming of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Here we are working closely with the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities, because they have access to the database of various organizations who are in the space. They interact with them on a daily basis. Even together, we go together with this department to negotiate, for example, with the infrastructure office, because we are saying women, youth, and persons with disabilities must benefit on this key government intervention. Program 3, Chair, which is development finance. This is a very critical program that we've just introduced, because one of the key issues that has been raised by SMEs and cooperatives is the issue of access to finance. So we thought we should come up with a very dedicated program that deals with issues around blended finance, with chair model funding collaboration, because we know that government does not have enough resources. So it's very critical for us to work closely with the private sector to make sure that we get various funding models that can enable our SMEs to have access to finance. These are the targets, Chair. I'm also not going to talk to each and everyone. I think I've spoken to the funding policy, which is the first one. The cooperative supported to the value of 88 million. We are working here closely with the small enterprise finance agencies to make sure that we have a support for our cooperative enterprises, township and rural enterprises supported. Here we have those various schemes that we have, which include personal care, the auto body repairers, the bakeries, and all these other ones, as well as the manufacturing support program is part of this. So this is the scheme that we're administering through the Small Enterprise Finance Agency. And then the last program there is crafters. We know that most of our SMEs, especially those that are based in rural areas or in marginalized areas, they have challenges when it comes to the quality of the products that they're producing. Here we work closely with the provincial entities. They have challenges with access to market. We also assist here to make sure that especially the crafters have access to appropriate business development support as well as the market. 5,000 startup youth businesses supported financially and non-financially. Here, Chair, this is the target. The President said we must at least have 15,000 startup youth businesses supported by 2023-24. And we are working closely here with the National Youth Development Agency because of their reach as well as the databases that they have. But we want to have businesses that are owned by youth driving this economy. So we have those targets that we put across over a three-year period. And then competitive SMEs and cooperatives, these are the businesses that I spoke to earlier that are expected to assist us with GDP contribution as well as job creation. So we have to have this report produced and submitted to DPME because it's part of the medium-term strategic framework. This is the budget that goes with that. Chair, you'll notice that there is a bigger figure there, which is 1.3 billion for 2022-23. That includes that budget of township and rural entrepreneurship, which goes to small enterprise finance agencies to assist us to implement the threat intervention. These are the risks that we identify. Lack of access to finance, we say, in terms of mitigating that risk, it's the issue of ensuring that SME and cooperative funding policies implemented, fast-tracking processes for accessing finance for SMEs. I think one of the interventions they introduced already is the common funding template so that SMEs, when they need access to finance, they are able to get the same from, they use the same template if they are going to CIFA, going to any app or going to the IDC. They don't need to always adjust their business plan or come up with new business plan. The last program here is enterprise development, which is one of the key programs. Here we have all the other interventions, which include the issues around local economic development. We know that we've been directed to implement or do whatever we're doing as a department through the DDM model. So this a branch also assists us with those interventions that talk to local economic development, ensuring that we are able to reach as many people as possible. We coordinate our support through the district as directed. These are the targets under this program. We have the master plan that I spoke to, that I spoke about earlier, which must be finalized this year. We also have the amendment bill that must be taken through parliamentary processes this year. The last one, Chair, there, revising the schedule to the National Small Enterprise Act. Here, Chair, the schedule talks to the definition of small businesses. We know that we have challenges across government, different government departments, they use different definitions when it comes to small enterprises. So we need to have this common understanding first across government. You go to DTIC, they have their own definition. You go to Department of Labor, they have their own. You go to State Statistics SA, they also have their own. You go to FAB. So we need to have this common understanding when it comes to definition, because it is a challenge when it comes to reporting. If you have different people using different definitions, when it comes to reporting, you will never have accurate reports that talk to the same. So we are conducting this year and making sure that we find common ground as government departments to have one definition of what a small enterprise is, what a micro enterprise is, what a medium-sized enterprise. A red tape reduction, as I indicated earlier, we are approaching this through the district model, where we get the district supporting us in coordinating this intervention. We know that as a department, we'll never be always be there in the local municipality. So the districts are critical in ensuring that they coordinate this and ensuring that our municipalities are implementing whatever red tape interventions we've agreed upon. This is the budget, Chair. You'll also notice here there is a bigger figure there, which is 900 million for 2022-23. For 2021-22, is 885 million. This is the money, most of it goes to the small enterprise development agency, which is bigger, to support the work that is being done through this entity. These are the key risks that we've identified, where we are also, for example, talking about minimizing duplication of efforts, because we know that we also have provinces, they have their own provincial DFIs, so coordination through the MINMA structure is critical in ensuring that we are able to get our SMEs receiving support across various spheres of government. Support to SMEs concentrated in urban areas, I think I've raised this issue earlier, that we are adopting a district approach to ensuring that we are able to reach those underserved areas, which especially villages and townships. Chair, with your permission, can I request the Chief Financial Officer of the department to take us through this section? Thank you.
Yes, thanks, DG. CFO?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG. Good afternoon, once more, Honorable Members, and CEOs and colleagues. Mine is basically just to talk to the resources, holistic resources that have been provided to enable the delivery of these targets that the Director General has been talking to. For the 2021-22 financial year, we are allocated 2.5 billion. However, over the MTF, this amount is just under 7.7 billion. And the spread is mainly in the development finance program, as the DG has already alluded, followed by the enterprise development program, with sector and market development not too different from administration. Development finance is allocated 1.3 billion. If you could just go back one, thank you, Chair. DG is allocated just under 1.4 billion. Enterprise development 902 million. Sector and market development 139 million, as well as administration with 116 million. In terms of the economic classification of the allocations, the compensation is allocated 152 million for the financial year, which is only 6% of the 2.5 billion. Food and services at 82 million, which is 3.2% of the allocation. Transfers and subsidies take up just under 2.3 billion of the entire allocation, while payments for capital assets only takes up 4.5 million, which is 0.2%. Now, as a department, we were also requested, as we're preparing this, to provide the committee with how adequate the resources are in terms of overall. When we looked at the allocation, Chair, when we look at the historical allocation that we received as DSBD, most of the money that we had were transferred from the DTIC. It was only about 2-3 years ago where we received additional funding for the innovation fund that began to make us look better. But that didn't change the model that we were implementing up until the sixth administration was affected, where and new leadership charged to change and implement this SME and cooperative centered business model. This model is basically seeking to have SMEs and co-ops at the center of everything that we do. But now our biggest challenge, Chair, is the resources that we are allocated. As we've already said, we've been allocated 2.5 billion. The next slide, we as the department anticipated, especially now with COVID-19, that for the MTF, at the least, we would require 10.5 billion. And 5.2 billion for the 21-22. However, as the committee has already seen, just for transfers and subsidies alone, we've just been given 2.3 billion. With 886 million of that, 868 million of that being CEDA allocation. We don't have the CEDA allocation in here because it is, this line allocation is still voted for under the DCIC. And what are we saying we require that money for? We have said we require 5.2 billion to support the sex and market development program, as the DG has already alluded to. For us to be able to meet all those requirements, we had estimated that we would need about 280 million. That would enable localization, access to market, and exposing female enterprises to international markets. For the development finance program, we said we would require 4 billion to enable the TREP programs that the DG was talking to, with our main focus mainly being in the townships, rural areas, youth, startups, and business viability programs. And in terms of enterprise development, we have said we'd require about 1 billion to enable the small-scale manufacturing program. But sadly, this is what we had presented to National Treasury and colleagues at the bilaterals, but unfortunately that was not to be because we only just given 2.3 billion. In terms of the structure, I will not talk too, a lot to it because the DG has already alluded to it. We are only an organization of around 210 posts, and we were allocated 155 at the time that we were going to MTS process. And we had said we would require at least additional 88 posts, amounting to about 58 million for us to be able to implement the mandate, because it's quite a huge mandate that we are faced with. However, our budget just reduced to 143.5 million. And for us realizing at the time the DG posts are still vacant, DDG posts still vacant, we knew that with the 143.5 million we would not be able to fill all those critical posts. So we negotiated with Treasury to enable us to reduce our goods and services budget, so that then we can then...
Sorry, CFO. Zibele, can you please mute? Okay. Sorry, CFO, you can continue.
Thank you, Chair. So we then agreed with Treasury that we would reduce our goods and services budget by 8.9 million for us to be able to get to at least 152.4 million that would enable us to afford our posts, but the reduction in goods and services over the MTS period is 40.7 million. Next slide, please, Chair. Thank you. So this slide here seeks to show the committee what we had before our original EME in terms of COE. We had about 162 million, and when we submitted, the budget was already cut to 155. So when it came back, as I've already said, we're sitting with 143, which would not have allowed us to fill in most of the critical senior posts, management posts in the department. So as I've already said, fear of repeating myself, we reinstated the goods and services budget, or reduced the goods and services budget for us to be able to reinstate some of the posts that we would have otherwise permanently lost, including posts like our DG. Thank you, Chair. DG, thank you. I think I've already spoken to the slide as well, DG, thank you. So we still have an issue around the, in terms of the implications of this budget cut on COE, our biggest concern is that the cost of living adjustments have not been implemented. So we also know that this issue is in the country's court, and we're really hoping that there is, should the organized labor issues be responded to positively, we might have to require additional funding, and we're not so sure whether that funding would have to be reprioritized from within or whether the sisters would be able to meet that. That is actually our biggest challenge, Chair. And the next
slide, DG. This is just a breakdown of that 40.7 million over the MTF that it took from goods and services to increase or reinstate the, some of the budget cuts from national treasury. We took money, 14.7 million from the from our travel and subsistence over the MTF, and just for the financial year, it's 3.2 that we took. Consultancy services over the MTF, which is 12 for the year, just 3 million. Computer services, we took 3 million over the MTF and 1 million for this year, while the recent facilities, we took 8 million over the MTF and 1 million for this year, which basically says we will not be able to interact as actively as we thought we would with our SMEs and cooperatives, and would have to be limited to virtual meetings, which then disadvantages the very communities that we are saying we would like to interact with from the TAP program in our township and rural areas, Chairperson. The reduction, we not only reduced in the goods and services, in the outer year we had to cut 9 million from transfers, because if we had further reduced goods and services, we would not have been able to meet our basic requirements as a department and commitments. So this then impacts negatively on the cooperative support, because if you take away 9 million on a, about 80 plus million budget, it's a material amount that would otherwise have supported cooperatives, that would have otherwise have supported businesses around business viability programs that we require or that we are implementing, especially now trying to help businesses turn around, trying to help businesses, small businesses to be rescued in these difficult economic times. And it also will make it difficult for us to be able to implement that localization program that the DG spoke to earlier. That was it. I think this is where I stop.
Thanks, CFO. Chair, we thought we should have this slide. As I indicated earlier, on the 1st of September 2020, the minister came to the NCOP and he presented our SME support plan, which is a plan that is aimed at assisting us to target different provinces, different districts. For example, what we have on the SME support plan, we have the number of enterprises under TREP program, how many should be supported, let's say, in Umsinga, how many incubators should be in that particular district, how many product markets should be in that area. So we do have that budget breakdown, or that numbers breakdown, but what we are doing now, we are reviewing that because of these budget cuts. We tried, CFO said, to push back even on the program areas, because our argument has been, you know, the only hope for economic growth or inclusive economic growth is through the support of SMEs. So we are in the process of reviewing that, and then we'll bring that document to the NCOP once we finalize the reviewing of that program. But in the department internally, we have aligned our interventions to the district development model. Like I indicated earlier, we have officials from various units within the department. You saw that our department is very small, but we have officials spread across various districts. We also, in addition to having provincial and district, we have sector champions. We don't have in the department specialists like agricultural specialists or manufacturing specialists, but we have colleagues who are dealing with sectoral issues, because even in the master plan, we are pushing that when they talk about the tourism master plan, for example, we need to see exactly how SMEs are going to benefit from those master plans. We are also saying in our portfolio, which is ourselves, CIDA and CIFA, the SME support plan dictates in terms of what support should be provided in which district. So they are also aligning their interventions to this SME support plan. It's now being reviewed, and then we will be presenting it to the full committee as well as the select committee. Move my presentation.
I unshare and share again, maybe to continue to work. I hope this let me try and use it to say, but I'm almost done, Chair. This is just an indication of the public entities that we have in the department. We have CEDA. I think CFO spoke to this, that 867 million will be going to CEDA this year. And then we still have CIFA there, but even though their budget still comes via DTIC and IDC, because CIFA is still part of the IDC. These are the provincial breakdowns in terms of what each entity will be spending in each province. These are the figures that we have. It's in case 47 million, 42 million for Free State, 60 million for KZN, and then 57 for Western Cape. This also talks to the interventions that are across these various provinces per entity. And then this is the provincial spread from provincial breakdown from our small enterprise finance agency. We were also partnering, Chair, last year with the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. They assisted us in the manufacturing support plan. They contributed 200 million. I think it's important to acknowledge that so that we are not seen. Not to be acknowledging the people who are partnering with us to assist us to deliver on this task. But the biggest budget there, Chair, comes from us as the Department of Small Business Development with our contribution there of 962 million that we are transferring to CIFA to implement various interventions, which also include the blended finance program, because we've realized that 100% grants does not assist our SMEs, so it's critical for us to also have this blended, which is a combination of a loan and a grant, to make sure that our SMEs also take responsibility in terms of ensuring that they are able to pay back some of the money which must assist us as government to finance more small businesses. And then the recommendation, Chair, we are recommending that the Select Committee on Trade and Industry, Economic Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour adopts the 2021 Annual Performance Plan of the Department of Small Business Development. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. I allow you, DG, to continue, as Ndoa said, I give you 1 hour. The reason is that we received the presentation yesterday, only yesterday. I had already taken a decision and communicated the decision to the committee secretaries that we should call off the meeting. I wanted to raise this at the start of the meeting. Unfortunately, the deputy minister had to leave because of a short notice bereavement in her family. I was really not happy with how, as members, were treated by the department. I was on the verge of cancelling. In fact, I had already asked the secretaries to cancel the meeting and write to the members that the meeting has been cancelled because we have not received the presentations from the department. On Sunday, I was made aware by the secretaries that no presentation were received, and I contacted the minister. The minister indicated that they only received the invitation only last week, and I went back to the committee secretaries and checked. They gave me information and evidence that the program to all the departments that we oversight in this committee, we oversight 4 departments, DTIC, Department of Employment and Labor, tourism and small business development. We sent the program to all the four departments on the 23rd of March. And then on the 30th of April, an invitation then was sent to the Department of Small Business Development. And no response, no presentations were sent. So we had that challenge. When I provided that evidence to the minister, she didn't come back to me. I don't know why. But when nothing happened yesterday, I kept on checking with the committee secretaries, and they after 1:30 one, they told me that no, there was nothing that was coming from the department. And then I told them that then we should cancel the meeting, and then write to the members that there will be no meeting today. So I think, as I'm saying, we're not treating this, the department is not treating the members. So members need time to go through the presentation, formulate questions on time, so that when we have this kind of meeting, they are able to ask questions. Department is not doing favor by coming to Parliament to make this presentation. This is in line with the Constitution that executive must account to Parliament. So we're really not happy with how this is. I know that you're not in the ministry, but in other departments, for example, Department of Employment and Labor and Tourism, we have PLOs, but also we have people in the office of the DG who also have direct interaction with the committee. I know in the Employment and Labor as well as in Tourism. I'm not sure, maybe the committee secretaries could even outside this meeting indicate to me whether we have such an arrangement. I suggest that we should have that arrangement so that we don't only rely on the PLOs, but also that the office of the DG must be aware of the communication between the department and this committee. Because yesterday then I was going to write to the chairperson of the NCOP and complain to the NCOP, so that the chairperson write to the leader of business, of government business, about, because it was going to be the second time, because the first time we wrote to the chairperson was when the executive was not honoring the meetings of this committee. The chairperson of the NCOP had to write to the leader of government business on that. That's why then executive started to attend our meetings. We were about to do that yesterday as well. So, honorable members, I know we received the presentation very late yesterday. Some of you were doing constituency work, in fact, all of us were doing constituency work. But fortunately, also, Enrico did send all the APPs of all the departments and entities. But this is a summary of those APPs. Can we have hands for questions?
Chairperson, sorry.
Not a lot. You can go ahead, Honorable Lord.
I do apologize, Chairperson and Chair. Chair, I do want to echo what you are saying. And we are raising this quite a lot and not taking any action. The other thing that I also want to just inquire from you is, currently we do not seem to have a quorum anymore from our side, which is also some introspection that we need to do. So I just want to find out from you if it's okay to go then ahead without the quorum or not.
No, with regard to the presentation, we can go ahead and have the presentation, ask questions. But what we cannot do is to, if, for example, we have minutes as part of the agenda items of this meeting, we're not going to be able to consider the minutes because we don't have a quorum. But I think for now we do have a quorum because it's myself, it's yourself, Honorable Lont, it's Honorable Moimang, it's Honorable Moshodi, I saw the Honorable Boshoff is here, Honorable Tim. So we are more than five provinces. I'm not sure if Honorable Tim is still here. Yeah, Honorable Tim. So we are six provinces, so we do have the quorum. We can even adopt the minutes. I don't know if you finish with your question, Honorable Lons, and then we can go then to Honorable Mimank. I see his hand is up.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity given to you to engage with the presentation and. Indeed, right at the beginning, we welcome the presentation, Chair. Note the support, I think, the concerns that you have correctly put across to the leadership of the department at the national strategic level. Chair, just few issues from my part. I think the presentation right at the beginning sketch out the alignment between the commitment to ensure that whatever the department is doing is in line with the targets of the National Development Plan, how it is translated into key performance indicators and output as guided by the medium-term strategic framework. I think there's no confusion right at the beginning, so we appreciate that. And then, secondly, the DG in when he dealt with the program one, also I'm happy that you are able to take us into confidence in terms of the issues that we raised there. Be around the alignment and the need to ensure that there is an alignment between the budget and the structure of the department. He indicated the process of engagement between the department and also ETC National Treasury. I'm happy with especially on program two, particularly with regard to the outcome that deals with the need to ensure that the department scale up and need support for SMEs, cooperatives, village and country economies. And there is a reference that is made to the SME Development Index pilot survey that is produced. And secondly, the incubation support program, which is informed by the plan to be monitored. I'm more interested in terms of what are the key areas that one can take home from this SME development index pilot.
survey, what are we looking at? how will this program assist in terms of addressing the concern that we've always had, the survivalist nature of our SMEs, because we need to transform them from that characterization. It was quite clear that what the lockdown, the key areas of concern to many of the informal sector, inability to access the unemployment insurance fund, was the fact that most of them are survivalist in nature. They are not at the stock price of legislation. So it would be important to get a part of this with this survey address that survivalist character of the SMEs, but also more than that, to ensure that there is transformation, and not only just transformation, also the need to massify the SMEs and the cooperatives in our township and villages. Fourthly, the under program 3, the DG outlined that the focus is to expand access to finance for SMEs, so that the support and the growth of this SMEs, both at the level of provinces and designated sectors, is taken to another level. I'm more concerned, Chair, about how will whether the policy that the DGS alluded to. I think it's the cooperative funding policies that has to be developed. Is it only an inward looking policy? Or is it also aimed at taking the private sector on board? I'm raising this point because especially at NEDLAC, was the economic reconstruction recovery plan. I think, and even the DG made reference to a number of master plans. A master plan that you referred to, which I believe that is the broader approach taken by various departments. But to me, what is quite critical is the need to ensure that this funding policy is also informed and infused by some of the consensus or the plan that Business South Africa has also indicated, because at some point there was that discussion as to whether what we have in terms of social compacting, has enough platform been created to ensure all those social compacting partners influence or even their design incorporated in our economic reconstruction recovery plan. So, but in this instance, I'm more restricted to this policy that the DGS made reference to, which is quite important, because you are able to also focus on making a comparison between what happened between 2020, 2021, and 2019. I realized that in terms of funding, the point that is raised is that this report must be implemented. It must be implemented this year. What are the key salient features of this funding policy, which will ensure that there is a buy-in from other critical stakeholders that are also targeted? Because obviously, once you have those key salient features of this policy, it's able to take us into confidence that the committee that it will create another platform for the other partners beyond ourselves to also buy in. But more than that, on program four, Chair, there is a point raised around the reduction of red tape plan that must be developed and implemented, and. I'm more concerned just to get clarity from the DG. If the target that we have set for ourselves will assist us in terms of ensuring that the support that the department must give, particularly in the context of district development model, but also, like as you have said, that there are various champions that are appointed both at the level of the province and also at the level of the district. But I see that the target for the district that is identified in 2021-22, it's only three districts that will be assisted. And I see that in 2020 to 2021, it was two districts that was supposed to be assisted, but in the financial year of 2019 and 2020, there were 33 municipalities that were supported, and in the year financial 2020, it was 12 municipalities that were supported. So the concern is why in the year 2020. 12 municipalities were assisted, and in the financial year of 2019 and 2020, 33 municipalities were supported. Why in 2021 and 2022 financial year, only three districts are assisted? Of course, the answer could be lying in the fact that maybe in these three districts, more than the number that I've alluded to will be given. Is that something that I wanted to get clarity around, Chair? Other than that, I think I'm happy with what the DG has included around this targeted program on the youth, women, and also people with disability. But what will be important for me is the targets that we have. Are they enough to allow us to reach beyond the limitations that we have had? But also, in terms of the 90.6% of spending of the department going to the supporting of business, this has to be commendable, but the challenge is, will this ensure that the money indeed goes to the township and rural economies? Will it go to the targeted groups? Will it be able to address the red tape that we have talked about? Will it be able to to ensure that the entities of the department also buy into this product trust. Lastly, Chair, just on the impact of the court case, because it was indicated to us that there is an interdict that was brought by AfriForum on the Horizon Equity Fund, and which is implemented jointly by IFA and DBSD. So I just want to check as to whether what does that mean in terms of that? That's by the department itself. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mark. Honorable Lord.
Thank you, Chair. I've raised this before and we haven't really got the satisfactory answer. Now again, it's flagged here that I think 1.2 billion was transferred to CIFA to do COVID spending support for struggling small businesses. Now, as the presenters rightfully said as well, is the mortality rate for startups are extremely high. And what percentage, or is there an indication of what percentage of what that 1.2 billion was spent on businesses that have already established themselves beyond a certain period of time? If we use the threshold that within 5 years, quite a few do not make it, how many was spent on established small businesses and how many was spent on small businesses only recently started up? Then the other thing that I couldn't quite get is the access to the market, and something that triggered me is just saying that they want to get 200 SMMEs to international market opportunities, but I don't hear much more strategic thinking about that. Markets that have the potential to actually show some exponential growth, or markets that have the potential for success, it just looks like another number that gets flagged. And not really much more aligned with that. Then I appreciate that we will get the stats broken down per provinces, but we now also need to look at the success rate and the failure rate between provinces, and with money that is being limited, shouldn't it be then that based on the historical trends and provinces that have showed a better success rate in getting these SMMEs up and running, shouldn't they then get more resources to continue with the good work, and then there should be closer interventions with those provinces or areas that do not get the success rate that we want them to get? And then I just want to go down my notes. Chairperson, I'll stick to that for now, thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Are there any other questions from members? Okay. From my side, I just also have some question, teaching. I hear that you were talking about the small business development master plan. But I just want to find out with regard to the master plans that are driven by the DTIC, master plan on clothing and textile, sugar, poultry, automotive. What is the role of the department and its entities with regard to those master plans? Because I'm sure there will be a small business sector that are playing role within that space in terms of those master plans. So just want to know what is your role, but generally, what is your role with regard to other departments that have small business sectors within themselves? For example, the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development. It could be that there are also other departments that have a small business component within their but also linked to that, DTIC always report about digital hubs, but also Small Business Development Department also reports about digital hubs. So what is the connection between these hubs? Are they independent from each other, or are you collaborating with regard to these hubs? We welcome the fact that in this financial year, you'll be able to bring to Parliament the amendments, the Small Enterprise Amendment Bill. But also, in the presentation, you talk about the Business Act that you will be considering either to repeal or amend. I just want to find out when are you going to do that? Will it be within this financial year? I also appreciate the fact that with regard to the payment, your target of 25 days, other departments are still struggling with the 30-day period. You are even targeting it to move it even further down. We really appreciate that commitment. But what I would like to find out, DG and the team, is to how are you assisting small businesses with regard to this particular target, or even the 30-day period that is not being honored by other departments and entities? What is it that you're doing as a department to assist the small businesses? Not only those that are procuring from yourself, the department, but from other departments as well as the government entities. Also, with regard to, you know, sometimes because we deal with the four departments I was mentioning earlier, we will always look at the best practices, and then as part of our role, we also would ask the questions when we see best practice in one department and check why the others are not doing the same. We'll do the same with this 25 days. If you are able to achieve it, when we meet with other departments, we'll ask them why we can't achieve the 25 days target. So I will ask yourself, because I know Department of Tourism is part of their target. They have a target on procuring from a BBBE compliant businesses. I didn't see that in your presentation under administration. On program two, with regard to that, I think the objective is to facilitate and increase access to market for small SMEs through business information, product development support, and value chain integration. I didn't really get what will be the indicator there, except that there will be an annual report that must be approved by the EXCO. But with regard to achieving the target itself, I'm not really clear. Because to me, annual report cannot be the outcome indicator for this, because we won't know what that annual report entails. But also in terms of incubation support program, we would like to know the number of those that have been established. I think on this issue of ease of doing business, reduce administrative and regulatory burden of doing business for SMMEs, if we could be updated as to what are these constraints that are making it very difficult for ease of doing business. But also the question that was asked by Honorable Lone, just on the issue of assisting with with regard to access to market support international. I think the question is asking, because it's 2,000, not 200. Perhaps the question is, what criteria are you using for those that are participating? I think the question would be that, what criteria are you using for those businesses that are assisted to have access for market support international, but also under the C-Trade survey. But also with the COVID-19 now, will you be able to achieve the target given some restriction internationally, even with travel as well as other constraints, whether we'll be able to achieve the 2000 target. I just want also to find out with regard to program 3, the business viability sub-program. I think there's also a viability program with CEDA. I just want to know what are these the separate programs, or can you clarify for us the connection between these, or are they separate, functioning differently? Then with regard to, I think it's under also program for, I just, there's a collaboration that we'll also be doing with the municipal LEDs. I don't know, maybe in future can just give us the state of the LEDs. When we had taken Parliament to the people in one province, we went to one municipality, which I'm not going to mention. We found out that the LED, though in name it was there, but in terms of its functionality, it was like non-existent. Then it brings me to ask whether do we have these LEDs in the municipalities, and to what extent are they functioning? I don't know if you would be able to respond to that question, because it is at a local government level, but as you will be working with this local government in the form of the district model, you may be able to pick up whether they are functional LEDs in the municipalities. I'll stop there for now. Thanks. I think I was the last, because there were no other hands, so I asked the DG and the team then to respond.
Thank you, Chair and other members, for the question. Maybe I must start by apologizing for the issue that you raised before the question. I think there are some inefficiencies that we need to address. The good thing, Chair, is that we have a chief of staff in the office of the minister who will assist in ensuring that we never have this kind of experience again, so that these issues really are attended to. And I think it must have been a mistake, but we will really make sure that it doesn't never happen. Not in that day, in the past, so it was a simple mistake, and we'll fix it. And our chief of staff will also fix it in the office of the minister. Colleagues will also assist me with some of the questions. I think Jobot will assist with that question on the criteria of those businesses that are supported to export. Let me start with some of the questions from Honorable Moiman. The issue of the index, whether how it will assist in addressing some of the concerns. Just maybe to touch on what we've seen with the survey that was done during 2020-2021 financial year. It was very useful because we go and interact directly with the small businesses and they give us direct input. So it's not something that is researched by another party and they reach their own conclusion when it comes to these issues that we need to address as a department. For example, in the survey that was conducted last year, the feedback that we got was, especially on the vulnerable groups, people still feel that we are not doing much as government as a whole in terms of focusing or prioritizing entities that are owned by women youth. They continue to suffer, so we really need to pick up our socks and make sure that we provide this dedicated support, and it cuts across various spheres of government, because sometimes targets that come through the MTSF, you go to provinces, you go to municipalities, they tell you, no, we don't know where these SMEs are, we cannot support people that we don't know where they are. So that's why I think we've come up with this SME database, because we want, when we ask a particular municipality, for example, how many SMEs you procured from, and they say they don't know the SMEs in the locality, we can pull up information from the database and say these are the SMEs, they are in this particular sector, they are located in this particular area. You must go and procure from those SMEs. Also, there were issues that were raised again when we did this survey around the criteria, the processes, the timeline, and what we are saying in responding to those issues is that the interventions like the common template, even in the database that we've introduced, you only put in your information once. You don't need to, when you apply for a particular intervention, let's say maybe you came and applied for financial support. Now you come, you want to access technical support, maybe you want to get your product accredited. You don't have to go and start again the process of logging in your information. So when you get a reference number, you use that reference number and then to pull out all your information. So we're trying to make sure that we streamline our processes as government so that people can get easier access to support. That's why we are interacting with these other government departments, bring them on board and making sure that our systems are interconnected. You don't really need to go outside and go to another website to register for UIF, because really the issue of UIF, it really affected us, because out of the money that we spent, 80% of it went to people who were supporting SMEs to pay their workers for a period of 3 months. So there are some things that are really assisting us when we are engaging directly with the SMEs that we are supporting, and we get the feedback and we implement those recommendations that are made by the SMEs. In terms of red tape reduction, Dominic will assist with the funding policy response, but in terms of the red tape reduction program, why are we going down in terms of numbers? I must indicate that so far, as of the end of November last year, we had already interacted with 136 municipalities. So we've gone quite a distance in terms of engaging municipalities in this red tape reduction space. But what is critical for us is to this thing of going back and checking whether the interventions that we introduce, are they producing results? So even though we are continuing to go ahead and engage more municipalities, it's critical to go back and interact with the private sector, ask them whether are they seeing any impact in terms of the turnaround times with the municipalities, their processes, all these zoning issues, you know, that normally affect the time it takes for a business to operate in a particular area. So these are the issues, Chair, that we are addressing. We know that we need to cover all municipalities soon, but we are really pushing in terms of ensuring that we spread the limited resources that we have. So the issue of the district approach, it assists us to cover as many local municipalities as possible by taking it at a district level. So that's the approach that we have adopted, because we find that one district has three municipalities, others have four municipalities. So it assists us with the number, but also with the uniformity of the intervention and sharing of experiences within the same local municipalities and the district, playing that role of coordinating the local municipalities. So it gives some sort of authority as well to the district municipalities to assist us in dealing with this issue. Chair, I will also request on the CEO of SIFA will deal with the issue of the impact of the court case. He'll also handle the issue of the 1.5 to SIFA. He'll assist with that. And then on the Honourable Lawrence's question on access to the market, what we are doing, Chair, remember the issue of international trade is led mostly by the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition. So we work closely with them. For example, even the embassies, we have quite a number of interactions with them because we need the advice of the economic representatives in these embassies and high commission over the country, because they provide guidance in terms of market intelligence, what is possible in that particular country, because we don't want everyone to just go there blindly, not knowing what kind of products are available in this particular area. But also, in addition, I indicated that on the trade platform, we work with the International Trade Center, which is an international organization linked to the UN. The International Trade Center, it assists us because they have experience already in the international space, so they are able to provide us with that guidance, provide these women-owned enterprises in particular to target the right market rather than just going ahead and trying to like in each and every market. The tricky one, Chair, the second or the third question from Honourable Lord, in terms of looking at successful provinces and supporting them more or reallocating the budget, the challenge that we are facing is that this would also go against the issue of addressing development in other provinces. I think the challenge that we are facing as a country around the migration between rural areas to the cities, people go to the cities and you find that the cities are unable to cope in terms of infrastructure as well as resources, because most people are moving away from those areas where there is no development. So it's critical for us to still go to those areas and support them and make sure that they are able, even the municipalities, we go an extra mile in ensuring that these municipalities have capacity to support our small businesses. We know that the distribution of our offices, SIDA and SIFA, it's limited. We are unable to cover everywhere. The interactions that we are having with the municipalities, because we request them to open up their office spaces, so that because we don't have money to open all pieces in each and every municipality, so we use the space from municipalities to locate SIDA and SIFA. In some instances, we are using these local municipalities to be information offices, because some they do not have capacity to start offering business development support to small businesses to operate. So they are there, they have all the information, and then they are able to refer whatever request come through to various entities, whether it's SIDA or SIFA. That's the kind of support we are providing. But also SIDA, through SIDA, for example, we do have these mobile offices that where they are able to go to various areas and do interact with the stakeholders, to interact with SMEs on a rotational basis. So they will set up, you know, certain times on this particular day, will be in this particular area, will be able to share information in terms of the support that is available to small businesses and cooperatives. Honourable Chair, on the issue of the master plans driven by DTIC, I must indicate here that we have these sector champions in place in the department to assist us exactly with that. We realized that some of the master plans were done, for example, the auto
spectrum assessment. This one was done quite early. We were not organized yet, so remember that it was one of the first ones that were approved by cabinet. So in those, we are going back and look at what are the opportunities, because remember, DTIC, they have the sector desk that are in that department. So we go to those because we still believe that there are opportunities for SMEs. So within the, now with these new master plans that have been developed, our sector champions, they participate in this development of these master plans, because we also sit in the steering committee that develop master plans. We look at the interest of the SMEs, how are the SMEs being integrated in these master plans, and we look at the quick wins, what we can do together to make sure that these master plans are practical and they accommodate small businesses. And then in supporting other departments, for example, the Department of Agriculture, we are clear there that we are not sector experts, so we don't go there and try and provide advice in terms of what products can be grown in this particular area. But what we, our role is very clear. We come with the business development support as well as the access to market support. For example, with agriculture, what we were looking for from them, we asked them to provide us with a list of these small-scale farmers, so that the people who are accessing our scheme on the fruits and veg are able to buy these fresh vegetables from these small-scale farmers. So there is that linkage that we are creating with all these government departments. So it applies to tourism. Tourism, they also are pushing us, because they do have this tourism sector that they are promoting, and they have their economic recovery plan that is specific on tourism, and they brought up on board in terms of other specific. For example, CETA is working with them on various incubators. Some are even on the food incubators. I don't know the correct term, but I'll say food incubators. So because they are trying to make sure that we support that sector as a Department of Small Business Development. Then in terms of the connection between DTIC Hub and DSDG1, I'll give one example, the one that is in Butabelo in Free State. That digital hub is located in an industrial park that is being revitalized by DTIC. So DTIC, they provided the infrastructure, they provided the facilities, and then we came in and provided the budget through FIDA to set up the industrial park, the actual digital hub. So DTIC, they came on the industrial park, and then we came in with the digital hub. So it's part of the industrial park. We'll be working with them in the other areas, but in some of the digital house, DTIC is not involved. We are spreading this because it's quite a big target. We are going to those areas. For example, the other one that we are finalizing is in Alexander. We are going to those counties and rural areas where we can get. But DTIC is reliant on CEDA to provide this expertise when it comes to the adjustment of the digital house. The Businesses Act. This one, Chair, we are a little bit cautious when it comes to the timelines, because you remember that back, I think it was in 2012, DTIC introduced the Business Licensing Act, which received a lot of negative feedback. So we are very cautious in terms of how we approach this. That's why I indicated that we'll be really be doing a lot of consultations, because we want to bring everyone on board. Once we have a product that if we believe it's acceptable, we know that it might not be acceptable to everyone. It's impossible, in fact, to please everyone. But if it's acceptable to the majority, especially the people who are directly affected by it, we can start taking it through government processes, which is the Office of the Chief Best Law Advisor, taking it to DPME for Social Economic Impact Assessment, and then taking it to Parliament. But the critical stakeholders here, Chair, the municipalities are very critical, because it's them who come up with all these licensing interventions. Chair, the other colleagues will also assist. Let me hand over to them to assist with the other
issues. If I may start with Dominique on the funding policy.
Thank you, DG Chair members. With regard to the SME and cooperative funding policy, the main aim is to strengthen the provision of development finance, and this is across the board, improving access to finance, and this is in conjunction with all key role players within the sector. The intent is to deepen access to finance for small enterprises across the board, and when we talk about small enterprises, we include cooperatives. And also to ensure that there's proper coordination, reach, scope, and impact of all these funding programs that, we currently have in place, and new initiatives that we will be conceptualizing. We've also made sure that we are in discussions with National Treasury. That is to ensure that we align to the National Treasury Financial Inclusion Policy, especially on elements that, speak to small enterprise development, and to ensure that the policy covers all landscapes. So to this end, the policy recommends the establishment of an SME and cooperative finance forum. The purpose of this forum is to ensure that we've got all key role players around the table. That is your small business financiers, DFIs, your academic sector, as well as the private sector, so that we go through the process of sharing knowledge and also coming up with innovative financial strategies. Some of the key areas that, or the key recommendations within the, funding policy, is to come up with targeted financial instruments, but to ensure that it's based, evidence-based, and it reaches, it deals with around issues of reach and scope. It also looks at financial literacy, because we know that poor bookkeeping or documentation is a major contributor to most of, our SMEs and cooperatives not receiving funding from lenders. Collateral is another issue. The commercial bank and other financial players seem to be quite strict when it comes to providing support to our SMEs and co-ops. The empowerment of our SMEs, I'm sure you're all aware about the establishment of the Umbud service. The empowerment element as a recommendation will be dealt with through the Umbud service, and also to tackle issues around late payments. There was a question around the business viability program. One of the key recommendations within the policy, the funding policy, is business turnaround and restructuring. Following the impact of COVID, a lot of our businesses have suffered, and they require additional support when it comes to business turnaround and business rescue. Another critical area is the fund-to-fund program that we're looking at. This aims at tapping into the private sector's 1% net profit after tax for the purposes of empowering Black SMEs. We're already in discussions with the BBBE Commission to determine how we can go about to become a facilitator within this space. And then overall and lastly, MME, on funding support interventions across the SME and cooperative sector to ensure that we feed in information and ensure that there's ongoing improvement within the funding policy. So the aim for the current financial year is to finalize the policy and its implementation plan and start with the implementation process within quarter two. Thank you, DG, Chair, and members.
Thanks, Dominic. We can request the CEO of FIFA.
Good evening, Chair, and honorable members, evening DG and colleagues. I hope I'm audible, DG.
Yes, you are audible. If you can put on your video. I know there are those that indicated earlier that they have a problem of data or network, but it doesn't mean everybody now must his or her face.
I don't have my wig on, Chairperson. Let me see.
Um,
Okay, sir.
All right. Okay.
It's let me start with the question around the Tourism Equity Fund. We, as you members may be aware, we are implementing this program on behalf of the Department of Tourism. The program was launched around February by the department and the president. And we started the process of inviting applicants to apply. We put together also the criteria for applicants and including the evaluation criteria. Later on, during the process of implementation, Solidarity challenged the, or threatened to challenge the program because they said it was excluding certain members of society or racial groups in the country. But when the minister engaged them, we did display to them that no, there's nobody who's included in this program. But there's a point scoring system that indicates that you get a certain number of points depending on the level of transformation of your company. The lesser the transformation of your company, the lesser the points you get. Then later on they changed tact. They said, okay, they are taking us to court because the timing of the gazetting of the program by DTIC and our launch were not aligned. The argument in court was that we launched before DTIC gazetted the program. And then we were interdicted, sadly. So we met last week, Chair, with the legal team of the Minister of Tourism and our legal team, because we are also cited there, and the legal team of the Department of Trade and International Communication. We were now trying to find a way of resolving this challenge. We consulted, and the legal team is still trying to come up with a solution where we have to evaluate the best possible route to implement it, because now we may be forced to chair to relaunch the program so that the new launch is after the gazetting by the DTIC. Before the minister could do that, we needed to have that interdict set aside, Chair. The lawyers of the department and our lawyers and the lawyers of DTIC, led by the state attorneys, are busy now consulting the applicants, the attorneys, to look at arriving at a workable solution. We will then now, Chair, be guided by the engagement between the legal teams and then see how we take forward. The implications are a bit costly, Chair, for the applicants, because some of the people made offers to purchase certain businesses with certain timelines. Now, with these delays, those offers may lapse, and sadly, people may have to renegotiate those offers. And also, given that the applications that we've received to the tune of about 6 billion to date may have to be reapplied. The applicants may be asked to reapply again, because we don't want to be caught up in another technicality that the ones that we are processing were null and void in any event because of the interdict. So that is the possible outcome, Chair, that we're looking at. And at this stage, we met the lawyers last week. We'll be guided by them after they have successfully engaged the attorneys of Solidarity. Then the issue, Chair, another question that was raised was the COVID relief funds that we dispensed to SMEs that were actually facing challenges during the hardcore lockdown, we had to then, as a department, jointly with CIFA, come up with funding instruments to assist businesses just to cover their operating costs, like things like paying rental, staff salaries, rates and taxes, etc. The member asked how old were some of these entities that we paid, because this notion that SMEs failed in the main during the first 5 years So I never wanted to know if I got the question right, whether from anywhere over 5 years or anywhere younger than 5 years. When we do our funding assessment, we don't look at the age of the SMME. We look at the requirements and the challenges, including the future cash flows of the entity. And we provide funding to make sure that that business survives. Where the issue of it being 5 years or 4 years is not one of the issues that we consider. We just look at the business, it's there, it was operating before COVID, because of the lockdown, it suffered losses, it had to slow down or scale down its operations, and then we look at where it is now, look at the future potential for it to generate future revenues, then we provide that bridge of finance so that it can get back on its feet. Ours is to see them survive, not to die at whatever age. So we find that those that met the requirements, and now we are looking at what is called, there's another intervention that the Minister of Small Business has put in place, which is the Business Viability Program. We say now that the economy is being kickstarted, we want these businesses are already in our book, not to fail. Then we are trying to support those ones that are in our book, and also we're looking at extending that business viability to those that are not in our book. Why start with the ones that are in our books? We're trying to save the taxpayers' money of the money that is we are exposed already, that has been lended to those businesses that are struggling. So the priority is to make sure that those that we're exposed to, we provide support to ensure that they survive, and then we extend that support to those that are not in our books to ensure their survival. Thank you, Chair. I think those are the main ones that I picked up for CIFA. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any other responses, DJ, that you are allocating to other members of management?
Yes, I request leader to respond to the two questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson and DJ, and good evening again to honorable members. I'm responding to the question on criteria for assisting or rather choosing clients that will participate in export development programs. So it depends on the level of the client's business, Chairperson. So there are specific things that we look for. Firstly, we assess the readiness of the business for the export market. And level one is those that are ready for export market because they have a product that is ready, that is meeting the standards that are required for the sector, that's been exposed to the export market, perhaps they've attended the export orientation course, which is one of the support interventions that we offer. Obviously, they must be registered with CIPC, SARS, and all the requirements, and are successfully supplying the domestic market. They have sufficient production capacity, because it's one thing marketing yourself outside the country, and then you are unable to meet the order or to respond to the leads. And the business must have been operating at least for a period of 18 months. Then the second level is a bit lower than level one. We look at the potential. We look again at the level of development of the client, and you must have been in operation at least for a period of 1 year. Then we have the lowest, which is level three, where we start you from scratch. And the main determining factor is the potential of the product that the client is producing. That's where we start you with basic training, with awareness, understanding of what is required in the export markets, the liabilities that you're going to have to carry. We are also
We're also collaborating with the GTIC, with their Export Development and Promotion Unit, because they have a program that is called the Global Exporter Passport Award Program. We're leveraging from some of the training that they are also offering, and they are also leveraging from some of the programs that are available from CEDA. We're actually in the process of concluding an MOU with them. Then the second question, Chair, was on the number of the incubators that are currently existing. Those that are supported by CEDA, at the end of April, we're standing at 101. That's a combination of incubators, digital hub, as well as for centers for entrepreneurship and rapid incubation, which are hosted by TVET colleges. But as DG indicated, the number is increasing because we finalized a call for proposals before the end of the financial year. This just came to an end. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. DG?
Chair, I request Bandile to cover the issue of the outcome of the series, and then I'll rebut it.
Okay.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair and members, if you could kindly allow me not to switch on my video. I could switch it on, it's just that I've got extremely bad lighting with my background. So if the Chairperson could kindly allow me.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And thanks, DG. The target, Honorable Chair, is talking about the annual report on the contribution to jobs by SMEs and cooperatives, and we are focusing or looking into the economic sectors. The Chairperson would recall that as part of the NDP, the 11 million jobs that are targeted by 2030, 90% of those are expected to come from the small businesses or from the SME sector. So what we are doing as a department through this target is to make sure that we track the contribution that is made by the SMEs and the cooperatives in the job sector, and we see how we can assist in increasing that contribution that is made by the SMEs and the cooperatives. We are looking into all the various sectors that are there, your agriculture and agro-processing, we're looking into the mining and minerals, we're looking into tourism, we're looking into the manufacturing. And what we then do as part of this target, we also had it in the previous APP, the 2020-21. We then, once we have tracked it, then we also use the reports from CSSA, and we see how the SMEs and the cooperatives are doing in the economy, in the broader sense of it. And what we then do in the report, we as the portfolio, since we have supported during the current, during the financial year, the SMEs and the cooperatives, we look into how those that have benefited from our programs have been contributing towards the creation of jobs, and where can they be assisted if there is a need to assist them. And recommendations are also made as to how the contribution of the small businesses can be increased towards the GDP. So mainly, Chairperson and members, that is what this target seeks to achieve. Thanks.
Thank you very much. DJ, you can wrap up.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I think the last question, the difficult one that you asked around the LEDs, it's a very tricky situation, because what you are saying is exactly what we've discovered in the number of municipalities that we've interacted with. The LED function is not taken seriously. You find that whoever is not performing in a particular function, they are shifted to the LED offices. You can go and do, and they are not given any budget. That's why I think we believe that the district development model approach is the only saving grace for us, because there we are able to bring all these other stakeholders into one place, because we are expected to implement a one plan
for that particular, for any district that we are interacting with. So we believe that through the DDM model, that's the only way we're going to have some, okay, some traction in terms of assisting or getting support for SMEs through the municipalities. We have had some engagements, somewhere led by the Deputy Minister, I think it was in the 6th or the 28th, where the local municipalities, including the mayors, were part of the interactions between the small business associations as well as the individual businesses in that particular area, because we believe that's the only way we are going to be able to gain some traction. So we had district mayor, district the local municipality mayors, the speakers, everyone was part of the engagement, so that we are all on board. We also had CIDA and CIFA there. The CIFA CEO presented even the interventions that are offered by CIFA when it comes, so that everyone can have knowledge and be able to engage with small businesses and provide information, because I think that's what the municipalities can provide at this stage. But in terms of providing a report on the status of LEDs, that would be a difficult task, but maybe COFCA can assist us with that process. I thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable.
Thank you very much, Honourable members, are there any follow-up questions? If not, then let me thank the DG and his team for the presentation and also responses to the questions from honorable members. Thank you very much, DG. Perhaps what also you could follow up, DG, is we'll be also debating the small business budget vote. For now, we have not yet received the date, but that is not in our space. It is in the space of the Office of the Chief Whip. But I've just seen that when we look, and also as we are to prepare for those budget vote debates, we need to have dates up front. We have not yet received any dates, but perhaps if in your communication with the minister, the dates could be provided for the debate. Otherwise, thank you very much for the presentation and the responses once again. Honorable, at this stage, we will then release you and your team so that we can then deal with the minutes and the committee. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you very much. The provisional date we have is the 1st of June for the NCOP. I think at 2 o'clock, I think that's the date we will see.
Oh, okay. No, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, if I may come in.
Yes, Anandra Koshoff.
I see the 1st of June is tourism and parliament, so I don't know how we're going to fit in small business as well.
Oh, and it's Tuesday, and also have a committee on the 1st. Yeah. Maybe let's follow it up with the Office of the Chief Whip, because they are the one, in fact, I was not even supposed to read it, because it is at that level where it is being administered at the level of the Office of the Chief Whip. But we need to bring it to his attention, because it also affected our meeting. We kept on shifting the time for the start of the committee meeting. Because of the disciplinary session, and some of us had to even leave the plenary session. At the end of the time, we left. There were still four speakers on the speakers list. So I take the point. I will raise the with the Chief Whip. Thank you, Honourable Koshoff. Can we then release you, DG, and the team? In the meantime, can you then, to Grace, fight the minutes?
We'll start with the minutes of the 9th, chapter 9th of March.
Okay. Scroll down.
Oh. 9th of March.
We don't see them now. We must fly them again. also worried that I may be the only person in this parliament here this evening.
No, we still have a quorum.
No, I mean in parliament. Yes, in the precinct.
9th of March.
The precinct of parliament. This keeps on getting off the screen.
It's the ghosts that are walking in the passageways of the house.
But you invited us to come on the first day.
No, I'm done.
Yeah. Okay. Can you scroll down to see if the members' names have been correctly? Oh, you're too fast here. Can you move up to check whether members if they don't have problems with their names? Okay, can go down. So short. Okay.
Chair family?
Yes. Yes,
I move that we adopt the minutes as is.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we have a second for adoption?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Moshodi, I second Honorable Bishop to adopt the minute.
Thank you very much.
I have a request to make, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with the mover and the seconder. Because this capacity building workshop, what I want to ascertainest is it possible probably to get the recordings of the workshop
Can you respond?
Yes, you can get. We can get the recording.
Okay.
The workshop.
Alright.
We do have.
Okay, can we then go to the next set of minutes?
The 15th of March.
Okay. Okay. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes?
I'll move the minutes, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chin. Can we have a seconder for the adoption?
I'll second, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bosho.
The last print is the 11th of May.
11th of May, okay.
May was absent.
You were absent. Can you go up again?
No.
Nah. apologies then. Oh, you were upset. Maybe he didn't indicate he didn't apologize.
Just 11th of May. I'll check my diary because I also
know there. Yeah. Okay. It's the one that was dealing with tourism.
Yes, tourism. 11th of May. I was present, Chapezin.
I think so too, yeah.
I was present. Unfortunately, yeah. I have also put on a diary on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I think okay. I was part of the meeting. My diary shows me that I was part of the meeting.
We will check and correct it, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Can we have a second up?
I step on chair.
Okay, thank you. All right. Which one were you? Oh, I saw the other one that you.
Was the report.
I was absent on the special economic zone.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Okay.
The last one I was present, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't know if members, what's your view on the report? I have not had the opportunity to go through it. I don't know if members have had the opportunity to go through it. If I don't have a problem if we adopt it, but if we're not had the opportunity to go through it, we can defer it.
I was absent in that meeting. No, I apologize, but I went through the report. I think so it helped us in the essence of the what was expected,
okay.
But also. Clearly indicates various comparative and competitive advantages around the SEZ across the country, but also the views of the MECs and also it makes me happy.
Okay. What's the view of other members? Okay, let's go down then. But then if the members have read it, let's then decide whether to adopt it. Can we then have a mover and a second?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Can we
yes, Honorable Sir. Honorable Mima said he was not part of the workshop. I don't know it's correct to move to adopt this report.
He's not adopting the minutes but the report. I think there's a gray area. Maybe we will need to be advised on that. For now, maybe let's ask those who are part of the meeting to adopt the report, and then we will establish perhaps legally whether a person who was not part of the meeting can adopt the report.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I move for adoption of the report.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Fushud. Can we have a second then?
I'll second, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Tim. At the only report, prisoner. Is there any other report? Committee Secretary, are we done?
There's already four chair.
Oh, okay. Let's see the committee secretary.
Chairperson?
Honorable team?
Chairperson, before we go, sorry, I don't know where we are. I apologize, I'm on the road. Chair, tomorrow, our meeting was transport. I did indicate this to Enrico, and he said he would forward it on to Shukwaka. But I'm just concerned that a number of us, I don't know, certainly myself, and I know Honorable Bosef and Honorable Lodd, are going to be involved. There's many of us all around the country in by-elections tomorrow. So I don't know if you're going to have much of an attendance tomorrow, but I just wanted to leave that with you. So if we can't do it some other time, then please, if I could just note my apologies for tomorrow.
Let me hand over that part to Honorable Moimank as the chair of the committee.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes,
yes.
Thank you, Chair, for closing that technical error.
Yeah.
Look, I had a discussion with the team. Our biggest concern that we have, Chair, is the congested nature of the NCOP program. We were trying to see as to whether it is possible to maneuver in terms of getting a slot. Our biggest worry is that if we miss this opportunity, it might throw us off. to the extent that even like next week, so next week and the thing is 7 is the beginning of our provincial conference. And I have yes, I clearly think that the first day, definitely that debate must take place so that at least we do not hold the process of the NCOP for ransom. We want to move that. Let's continue the meeting as planned. If we can get 5 members, then it will be a bit of a challenge. But we have noted those apologies. But we have impressed upon members just to try everything they can do to assist us as a committee to proceed and finalize this hurdle. Our biggest one is that with the congested program, it will throw us off balance. In fact, we have requested that those that can, if honorable members have alternates, they can make a humble appeal for those alternates to prepare themselves. We know that we are dealing with leaders of various political parties who constitute the select committee, and by elections are an integral part of what makes them leaders, and definitely they are expected to be on the ground. But let's wait until tomorrow and see how far we can go. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe we can continue on this part and find out Chair this part. Maybe I should close the other one and then leave this one to you to check this part. The Select Committee on Trade, the Honorable Members, is adjourned. And then I'll hand over to the Honorable Moimank to then leave this part and check. Adam, I am available tomorrow for...